Order. I was advised that Justice Shock was going to be out of town and would not be here tonight. And of course, Justice Boyer had surgery, shoulder replacement surgery on Friday, and he thought he was going to be out in like 24 hours, and that turns out not to be true. It's going to be more like 7 days, probably the first of next week. So I checked on him earlier, and he was rehabbing. So apparently the surgery went relatively well. Although we do have a quorum for this meeting tonight, probably will not entertain any voting or anything. So I think we have room for discussion anyway. So I have an agenda that we did send out. I'm going to be, again, relatively flexible with the agenda. So I'm going to start off with Justice Lahousky. You know, I decided to go ahead and pull the issue off with the ordinance dealing with the seal. Mm-hmm. You know, we tabled it so that we could give it some consideration. You know, I've given it some consideration. I've talked to a few officials, so I'm going to take it off the table, turn it back over to you to see if you have any further discussion, and let you lead that.
Okay. Thank you. I went and typed up this morning early a revision to what I had passed out whenever it was when we started talking about this. Basically, it puts the state seal as the official seal of Faulkner County, and it makes this other seal drawn by Miss Suzanne Wagner of Mount Vernon as the historic seal of Faulkner County.
June 4th. That's when we discussed it last.
Okay. So that's
June 11th.
My amendment to my original ordinance.
So.
And I'm sorry, I don't have copies.
All right, let me hit the high points. Being enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, whereas in 1992, the Faulkner County Quorum Court passed Ordinance 9228 designating the official county seal, whereas today the seal designated in 1992 is no longer used, and whereas the seal used today to represent Faulkner County is the Great Seal of the State of Arkansas with the text Faulkner County, Arkansas along its outer ring. Now, therefore, Section 1, official seal of Faulkner County shall be the Great Seal of the State of Arkansas, as described in Arkansas Code 1-4-108. Let's see, the exception to Arkansas Code 1-4-108 shall be the text surrounding the seal to be Faulkner County, Arkansas. Ordinance 9228 is amended to designate the seal designed by Suzanne Wagner of Mount Vernon as the historic seal of Faulkner County. All right, I actually like that.
Okay.
I like that. I like the fact that we're including the historic seal. Based on that ordinance that we saw, I probably have a copy of it in there, but there was a great deal of work and effort that was put into that at that time. So that still leaves that as available for use as appropriate. So any comments or questions among the committee?
I guess I would have a comment. It's not necessarily it's related procedurally to this.
Okay.
Because if I know we're not passing anything out of committee tonight, but if we were to pass it to the full quorum court, it's something that would require three readings because it's not an appropriation. There's no emergency clause. But somewhere in Arkansas law, and I've got it here in my book somewhere, we have the ability by a two-thirds vote to override that.
Three readings?
The three readings if we have a two-thirds vote. So that would be the only thing. I think
I know that
ordinance is like this, that would...
Yeah, I know that we can do that. I don't, personally, I don't like to go around the three readings lightly.
Oh, yeah.
It can become a precedent that we don't want to begin unless there's reason for that. But we can discuss that at that time. So I know... Did most of the other JPs leave? I shouldn't have let them go early. I'm just telling you.
There's a few of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. All right. So let me just open it up to the floor to the other JPs. Any questions or comments regarding this topic?
Where will this historic seal be visible?
Right now, it's Steve Waite sent it to me.
Yeah, it hasn't been visible
It's not visible right now.
Well, we're going to add it to the website. We're going to put it on. I understand it's not going to be on any literature or lettering yet on the sides of vehicles. So where can I go to and see it? As a member of the public,
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah,
you ask me for it, and I'll give it to you.
I mean, the county has transitioned to this new seal unofficially, anyway. That's pretty much what I have come to.
Well,
So I guess my question would be on that, Justice Houston, is that it probably just stays on the books as the historical seal for whatever future opportunity that may avail itself.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I was going to say, we might also be able to send that to the museum or historic society and get them to put it out on social media or part of that as well, where people could have access to it. Just a thought.
I remember the original discussion, Mr. Chair, there was so much time and effort and thought put into that seal that we just didn't want to trash it, you know,
that's
and
just correct.
Wad it up and there it goes, to retain it in some aspects for that reason.
All right. So at this point, then, what I'm going to do is I'm going to table this until we have a full quorum in the committee, and then we'll move it, we'll discuss it to move it to the full court at that time.
Sounds good.
Is that okay with you guys? All right. Yes, all right. Item number 2 on the agenda, Councillor Hogue. Councillor Hogue, you and I have had a couple conversations and email exchanges regarding a fire district rezoning request.
Yes.
That impacts some people in that I believe over on Ridge Road, Ridge Drive, if
yes.
I remember correctly.
Yep.
That they're requesting to be redistrict, rezoned, whatever it is, from Centerville to the Greenbrier Airport. And I'm just looking for an update.
That's a lot more than you probably want, and so I'm going to start, and you can tell me. I don't want to hear it, Hogue, and I'll welcome it. The problem that you're referring to is one of several. This is Centerville right here in the blue.
Okay.
We've got a stream of statutes around the, well, a stream of statutes in Arkansas that say how fire districts are supposed to be set up. There are rules such as each fire district, let's see, things like you, you should have an... the fire department for each district should be no further than 3 miles from any place that it's going to serve, things like this. So we've got some of those kind of issues that we need to really start looking at how our fire districts are set up and whether that's being complied with. I can tell you that that's not the case in Faulkner County. We've got people going quite a bit further than 3 miles. We've got some people that may be on the north side of a creek. If you have a creek right here and the fire department is right here, you may have somebody that lives right here, but the fire truck has to go 3 miles this way and 15 miles this way and 10 miles back this way to get to this house that's just across the creek. They have a very unsatisfactory to them fire rating, insurance rating, because of this kind of problem. And so people like this are going to request that they get put in the next fire district over that's on the north side of the creek instead of the south side of the creek. We don't just have one problem like that. We've got several problems like that. And each one of those people will come visit me or Sheila or their local fire department, and they'll say, can you switch me to the readily accessible fire station? The problem for us is that generally we're not supposed to pass ordinances and make laws that are for the benefit of one particular person. Next, if they may have a few houses between, they may be a little cluster of houses there. Not everybody wants to switch, but they want to switch. And we have made, I'll say it out loud, the mistake sometime back in the Saltillo area of doing a contract for a couple of fire districts to try to solve that problem, where the contract said that that Station A would serve the needs of Mr. B, and Station C would not serve the needs of Mr. B, and Mr. B would still pay his dues into Station B, but they would pay those dues back into Station A and so forth,
trying to make all that work and serve the person who says, I want to live in another fire district for better ratings. That kind of stuff becomes a nightmare. It clogs up the system and so forth. So, with that said, the one isolated little problem that you're talking about is one of several that I've got that I'm working on. Wooster is not opposed. Okay, I had all the fire department chiefs in one room a month or so ago, and I asked them, would you guys be opposed to taking all of these different colors and making one big fire district for the county with some autonomy to run these different districts? Okay, the one big fire district would take care of, if the changing of boundaries would be a lot easier. You could apply for funds a lot easier because of the size and so forth and the population served. Basically, all of the fire districts said, we want to maintain our own autonomy. Now, I'm gonna be very honest and tell you, some people want their own autonomy because I am currently digging into the books of one or two fire districts because there's allegations that they're handling their money inappropriately, illegally. Some people want their autonomy because they're doing stuff like that. Some people want their autonomy because they are running the best fire district around and they don't want to be dragged down by the people who are not running the best fire district around. So there's varying reasons. Wooster is not opposed to the idea of consolidation with some sub-autonomy, but they don't want to give anything up that they've already got.
So let me ask, my understanding is when they give up a residence, they give up funding as well, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a motivation for them not to give up residences.
Greenbrier is right here. You're familiar with Greenbrier. Mm-hmm. They would like to straighten up the lines on the west border. They've got a nice straight line. They kind of know what's going on around here. But this line over here is all sorts of crooked, and they have a hard time sometimes remembering which road and which house and which residence and so forth they're supposed to be serving and not serving once they get over to that side. Damascus, they want everything back from Twin Groves. Twin Groves apparently once upon a time split off from Damascus, maybe. And so they want to take everything back from Twin Groves. There's some arguing between those two about who's getting what dues and who's not getting what dues. And that's a big issue. Twin Groves wants to stay exactly like they are, no problems. Centerville Fire Department is presently serving, this is Centerville in the blue here, this is Holland down here. Centerville is presently serving Holland down to the Cadron apparently, and they would like to clean up and just serve their own district and maybe move a line to make sure that their district is what it's supposed to be instead of serving somebody else's district where they're not getting the money from it. I say all that, and then one person, I'm not going to name a name, one person responded to all of this and said, you know what, we don't even have uniform pipe sizes in all of these fire districts. So if you try to consolidate all these fire districts, then you've got a problem with trucks hooking up and just all sorts of issues. I say all that to say this. I have a lot of sympathy for your constituents who want to take their house and be in a different fire district for better ratings. This is a huge problem, and we have all sorts of issues I'm working on with fire districts in Faulkner County, and I've given you kind of a mountaintop overview of what I'm trying to do, and I've been talking to Sheila and several fire districts and chiefs and so forth, and as is the character of my job, every time I reach out to a fire district chief and say, I want to talk to you about the fire district lines, he says something to me like, well, can you investigate how our books have been rolling lately? And I get another can of worms. So this is still mushrooming, and I expect it to mushroom a little bit longer before it starts closing down and seeing problems resolved.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? All right, very good. Thank you, Councilor Hogue. All right, next item. So the next two items actually have to do with the jail. So discussed jail fees in reference to a couple of ordinance, and also Justice Kendrick had brought up information educational session regarding the inmate housing. So I guess the first thing I want to ask is, Ms. Woody, which one of those is going to take 3 hours? Is that the one that's going to take 3 hours?
Possibly. Depending on how many questions you have.
We can shorten it for you. Yes, there is an alternative.
I think what I'm going to do then is I'm going to jump to Justice Kendrick's topic. So, Justice Kendrick, I saw you had sent this to add it to the agenda, so I'm going to turn the floor over to you for your question.
One aspect of this, Mr. Chair, was I believe it was during the special meeting we had asked for kind of a breakout for our inmate population, what they were in there for, what they were being housed for, had they been charged, those types of things. So I didn't know if we'd had a chance, if the sheriff's office had been able to gather any of that information or where we're at on that. And then some of it as well was looking at how much of those inmates, how much of them are state, and are we getting state reimbursement for that, and then kind of the breakdown as well between city and county inmates. So just kind of a large picture overview of our inmate population and what's going on with that.
Okay, so I get that.
So got multiple things in there.
So would you? So I'm sure that the captain is not prepared to answer specifically. So would you like to ask or submit specific questions, and then I could get them over to the captain and then get those answered, and we could follow up.
Sure, we can do that.
I think that would probably be better than just having an overall discussion. It would be easier to do that. So if you want to have a list, you can send it.
Send it
to me and everything, and we'll get it. We can even address it in the Criminal Justice Committee and visit with it there. I'll get it to you. Would that be better?
Sounds good.
Unless you just have all this off the top of your head.
Well, we did submit 10 years of data as far as what charges people were coming into jail for.
Right.
And we did it in a descending order, by the most prevalent charge to the least of the charges. So that should... Margaret, you got that email correct?
I was not able to open the email, but it also had Ashley on it, so I was assuming it was going to be in the book for next week.
Okay. It may be in the... Y'all may see that.
I wasn't able to forward it because it would not let me open it.
Okay.
It flagged it as...
So there is some data that we will potentially see at the full court meeting.
I agreed with it when I looked at it.
It was probably a pretty big scan.
Yeah.
Because I think each report's about 11 pages, and then 10 years of 11 pages. Fairly large.
Right. Ashley may have had the same problem as me. She may not have been able to open it. So we may have to get with Steve to approve that coming through.
So, Justice Kendrick, my feedback would be, looks like we're going to have some information at the full court meeting next week. If that does not get us where we need to, we'll follow up with specific questions.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Does that work?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good. Justice Lachowski. I'm going to turn the floor over to you regarding jail fees and reference ordinances 92-20 and 93-24.
All right. Thank you very much. I want to start out by saying I have to leave here at 8:45 to go pick up a child from dance. So I'm sorry for cutting us short tonight. If y'all wanted to be here until 10:30 or so, I'm sorry for that. I think this is a ginormous conversation. I don't think this is a conversation that's going to... be concluded tonight. I think there's a lot of things. I know there's a lot of things I don't know about the criminal justice system and what kind of fees and things we collect and where money goes and what pays for the jail. So I think there's a lot of fact-finding and a lot of education that we need to do before we try to take any action on this. I've seen in news headlines recently where Washington County has increased their rates to $60-something a day. And then where Pulaski County has worked out some deal with their municipalities to charge a certain percentage more than what they had been to help them keep their jail where it needs to be. I don't intend tonight to come away with any ordinances, with any motions. I just really want to start the discussion on what this looks like, because as Justice Pickett outlined, we need money to help us with our county jail. There may have been a point in time where the county said, you know, we've got this, y'all are good, you know, to the cities, but I don't think we're there anymore. So we've got to explore these other options for funding our county jail.
So if I understand your question that you're leading up to is that you would like to understand what is today regarding jail fees that the various municipalities are paying. Is that?
Yeah, to understand what they pay into the jail, what we pay into the jail, you know, what they don't pay into the jail, and then how that looks for our current ordinances that are on the books.
Okay.
92-20 and the other one, 93-24.
Okay. All right, so I'll ask, is that a question, counselor, that you can help us with, or do we need to go straight to Ms. Woolley?
That is a question that Ms. Woolley and I can answer with a college-level class. And I say these things half in jest and half not. Let me ask
the question another way, and maybe we can lead into this. So there are fees that municipalities pay when a municipality makes an arrest and they take somebody to jail, there are fees that are paid regarding those prisoners. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I guess we'll start off with simple.
Okay, let me give you simple. I like simple. I like to give you simple.
And then we'll lead to hard.
So I'm going to start you with Arkansas Code Annotated 1241-506.
You're writing all this down?
Yes, sir.
1241-506, Expenses of Municipal Prisoners Held in County Jails. I'm going to read to you 8-1. In the absence of an agreement on jail costs between the county and all municipalities having law enforcement agencies in that county, the quorum court in a county in this state may by ordinance establish a daily fee to be charged municipalities for keeping prisoners of municipalities in the county jail. All right. Now, with that said, we have done that. We did that in 1992, and I'm going to admit to you that I'm using Ms. Woolley's research. We did that in 92. We did that again in 93. We've probably done it again sometime after that. But here's the problem. This county has by ordinance, and I'm reading the second part of this statute now. This quorum court in Faulkner County in this state has by ordinance established a daily fee to be charged municipalities for keeping prisoners and municipalities in the county jail. But there have been agreements made on jail costs between counties and municipalities aside from that ordinance. Okay.
So are these like mutual aid agreements or something?
These are handshake agreements usually. These are, I'm running for office and here's what we can do. You do this and I'll do this and we'll call it even kind of agreements. These are, I want you to pay more than you paid last time kind of agreements. There's random agreements. Some of them may be in writing. Most of them may not be in writing. And so that's where this whole thing gets very complicated. And I'm sorry that this is kind of the same answer I was giving you on the fire districts. The whole thing gets very complicated, and we get very nebulous because we don't know the answers because of this language in the absence of an agreement on jail costs between the county and all municipalities having law enforcement agencies in the state, blah, blah, blah. We have all these verbal agreements between law enforcement agencies and so forth, and suffice it to say that technically we're probably not following the county ordinance or the state law. Well, given the fact that the state law says we can have all these side agreements to some degree, we're probably not specifically following our county ordinance all that well because we have all these other agreements. So, this is where Ms. Woolley and I were
This would be
earlier.
The undocumented agreement.
Right. This is where Ms. Woolley and I were talking earlier. We can take two approaches here. One is to spend some significant amount of time explaining about an inch or more, really, this is just an inch right here, an inch of paperwork about all the statutes and ordinances and what's happening and the actual cost of the jail, of the inmates and reimbursements and what we're getting and what we're not getting and so forth. And then you guys try to make a decision about what we need to do based on all that information, or we can reverse this process, and I would almost suggest that. And instead of us saying, here's all the confusion of what is going on right now, and then you guys tell us what you want to do, you guys tell us what you want to do, and we work out how to make that happen legally. That would probably be a whole lot more simple and save a whole lot of time to avoid trying to explain something that I'm not sure can really be explained because of all the unwritten agreements.
So how well is the structure working with the undocumented agreements?
Oh, nobody knows what it is anymore.
Can I come forward?
Please.
If you don't mind, I'd like to sit at the table.
Sure.
Have all my research.
Sure. Come on.
That's the rest of the paperwork. If my one end, she's got... I don't think I like how that went. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay, so currently we do not bill municipalities for housing per diem per day for inmate housing. The sheriff's office does not.
Which is ordinance 92-20, so we're not doing that.
No, and from our research that we were able to obtain through our system, because when a housing reimbursement comes into the sheriff's office or to the county, it is received inside our office first and then given to the county treasurer on our monthly check when we close out our books. And so we were able to run reports in our own in-house system to find that it looks like it started tapering off in the mid-2000s collection and from municipalities, not state. State prisoners are still reimbursed to us.
So what happened in the mid-2000s, do we know?
That's the undocumented information that we do not have. In 2017, if you remember, we had a mayor's meeting that I and Captain Reed Mueller came to after speaking to the sheriff and brought kind of this topic to light the first time I realized that it was happening, once I realized that this ordinance was out there. And that's also at the same time that our budget restraints were happening along with our expenses overriding that. And so this is where we started looking at where our revenues come from and where we can anticipate possibly trying to increase them or just trying to find a source for our problem. And so that's when we realized this. And we brought it up in a mayor's meeting. And it's some of the information goes further out. But we brought up in a mayor's meeting, and the only contract or agreement that we could find documentation actually on print was with Greenbrier. It is on your city ordinance, and I do have a copy of it. Let me find it real quick. I have spoke, like I said, at the mayor's meeting to other ones, and none of
so,
the other
so that ones, one's not undocumented.
It's not undocumented, but there, I see issues within it. But and I've talked to Councilor Hogue with that. But and I'll just let you know, it's ordinance Greenbrier City Ordinance 07-2009. And it states it's talking about jail fees, and it goes on to have an Exhibit A, which is on letter A from the sheriff's office. At the time was Sheriff Byrd, and it's August 3rd, 2009. It's addressed to Chief Gene Earnhardt, and it goes in to say that as per our conversation with City Attorney Bill Bellick, it shall be passed through the Greenbrier City Council, that the Sheriff's Office agrees to accept $20 fee collected from defendants convicted of misdemeanors and violations in lieu of $30 fee charged per prisoner as you are paying now. And then it states a House bill that went through and so forth, and then it's signed by Sheriff Byrd. So I question the legality of it because it is on letterhead, it's not a contract, and it's signed by our sheriff and not the county judge at the time. And it's a county ordinance that we're enforcing in order to accept it in lieu of payment. And this was done in past administrations as well. So I wanted to know, is it still a valid agreement, and was it supposed to be the county judge at the time? I don't know, because at this point, when we have a contract signed for any department within the county, we have to get the judge's approval and signature whether our department had signed it or not. And so that's where I said, okay, well, is this good or not? Because that's the only really response I received after the mayor's meeting. I talked to Gene the next day.
So if I understand what I'm saying, it sounds like the city of Greenbrier processed it appropriately. The county may not have on our end.
Possibly. I'm not sure. But this is the only one I can find documented. And so I don't know that if it is valid at the time, that it doesn't need to still be updated now. And I know Mr. Lassie was speaking about the things that are in the news right now. I also saw the articles that were in the paper, the Democrat Gazette, in regards to Pulaski County. They are in contract with their municipalities, I believe with five cities within there. And they have an annual contract that they redo every year and agree upon. And pretty much Pulaski County came towards all their cities and said, our jail expenses are vastly increasing, we need help, or we're going to have to do something drastic. And they reached an agreement just today, I believe, to increase each city's payout 25% in 2020. And so this is not something that, like, we're creating this as an option for revenue. This is something that multiple counties within the state are doing and can do within the law as long as there's an ordinance passed, which we have. Once I found the ordinance, I brought it to Councilor Hogan's attention because I said, is this still a valid ordinance? I've read through...
Which one? This,
the 92.
9220?
Yeah, and pretty much 93 is just...
So let me see if I can get a grip on... So we have 9220 that's in place, which basically says, you know, $30 for adults, $90 for juveniles per day?
Yes, sir.
All right. But we have an alternative agreement there with the city of Greenbrier. Is the city of Greenbrier still honoring that?
We do not bill them.
Do not bill them?
We have not.
So are they paying that?
Do you collect the fee for the felony charges or whatever is talked about?
That's different. That's different. This is a per diem charge that we're talking about. Jail fees are separate from this. So that's what I was kind of talking to you about the other day. A lot of the collections of fees and fines that the jail is directed by law to do, they get misconstrued very often because they're a lot of them are set at $20, and so a lot of people will get them confused. But the per diem that we can charge to municipalities is outside of any fine or fee. It is just by law that we can charge municipalities for using our jail to house their prisoners. It's outside of any fine that's imposed by the court.
This is more of a housing inmate reimbursement. Would that be a better term for it?
Yes.
And what you said earlier, nothing is being collected on a per diem basis from it, even though there's we'll call it a binding agreement, whether it is or not, but nothing is being collected from any city, including the one that we can actually have documentation.
Not for a per diem charge that we bill them to pay us.
For that inmate housing reimbursement.
No.
Are you collecting
whatever? Here, just a second. Yeah. Chief Earnhardt, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. I've got documentation here. Not as much as she got, but anyway. Started in 2009 is when they passed the bill and raised it to $20 per ticket that was adjudicated. So every ticket that we write that goes through the court system is adjudicated. $20 we hold out and send it to the jail, whether we put them in jail or not. I mean, we send the $20. Okay, back then our city attorney was Bill Bellick. We got with him and he did research, and he said that the option was we could take a $20 and put into an account, a bank account, to pay for our prisoners when we got a bill. Or we had the option to get the council to approve and send them the $20 every month to the county. So I did visit with Sheriff Byrd.
Instead of the per diem?
Yes.
Okay.
Visit with Sheriff Byrd, told him what it was, what we was talking about. He said that would be fine. He would not send us another bill for prisoners. Now, I don't have the total since 2009, but this went into effect July the 1st, 2009, and we've been paying every month. Here's a copy of some of the checks. They go to Faulkner County Treasurer Scott Simpson. Mm-hmm. Is who the check goes to. And just for instance, since January the 1st until July the 31st.
Of this year?
Of this year, we have sent the county $39,995, whether we put them in jail or not. And I'm trying to work, help the sheriff by not putting people in jail, you know, because it'll help this population. I'm for him 110% on that part. I'll back him up.
So if I understand correctly then, Chief, just hypothetically, if you don't send anybody to jail that month where you would normally pay the $30 per day, but if you don't send anybody, you're still sending a check based on the tickets?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Based on our ticket. I brought just a few copy of checks, anywhere from $1,600 to over $4,000 a month.
Okay.
To the jail, whether we put anybody in jail or not. I mean, that's my standpoint. I feel like we're paying our fair share. If not, then we keep the 20 by what our other attorney said. We put it into a bank account and hold that money at the city until we get a bill from the jail. But it was a lot more simpler, a lot less paperwork, easier on the court clerk to just send a check every month to the Fulton County Jail to help them on the jail bill. I mean, the paying it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make money off of them. I'd rather give it to jail and let them use it as they need to for prisoner upkeep.
Okay.
He is telling the truth. They do pay their jail fee that they collect off their tickets into the county treasurer every month. And I have copies, the ones I actually got from the treasurer's office back in 2017. I have those for every city. Every city is paying their county jail fee into the county.
So there are other cities doing this as well?
Yes, but that's a jail fee. So that's where I'm saying that it gets very confusing, and I would be glad to explain that
Let me just try to keep it simple. So the jail fee does not necessarily compensate for the per diem?
No, and I can just give you a brief synopsis on the jail fee. There is a law for it. I can give you what the law is so that way you can look at it on your own time if you'd like. It's 16-17-129. Which titled Levy to Defray Cost of Incarcerating City and County Prisoners. And just the first section states, in addition to all fines now or as may hereafter be provided by law, the governing body of each town or city in which a district court is located may by ordinance levy and collect an additional fine not to exceed $20 from each defendant upon each conviction, each plea of guilty or or each bond forfeiture in all cases in the first class of accounting records as described in, and it states what, that's another law, 1617-707, explains what first class accounting records mean. There's two sections.
Okay.
If I can finish.
All right.
If you look at that statute, first class accounting records state that that's town or city ordinances. So that's first class. That's going back to the levy to defray cost of the housing prisoners, Section B state, in addition to all fines now or as may hereafter, quorum court of each county may by ordinance also put a fine of $20 on each defendant convicted of the same scenario in all district courts in the county. And I have multiple documentation. But just for example, an AG opinion number 2009-172, an ordinance by the quorum court establishing an additional fine not to exceed $20 for the jail under the law provided applies to all county or all cases in the district court, the county docket and the city docket. So that $20 jail fine for county jail fee applies to city and county cases. And then also an ordinance of a city establishing an additional fine of $20 for the jail for the same statute applies to only the city docket. These are separate fines. So back when this, from my interpretation of everything that I found documentation for, my interpretation is it was a misunderstanding of the law that it could apply to both types of cases in first class and second class accounting. I believe that at the time, the sheriff and the attorneys that were involved in the city, they believed that there was only one $20 jail fee that could be collected at the time, but it's actually two. And I've talked with Donna Raffold on the district court side. Every city within the county does collect county jail fines and, county jail fees and city jail fees. They collect them from their tickets. I have a breakdown from Donna Raffold. For example, if it is a city ticket, they are charged, for example, for a Class A misdemeanor, they're charged $5 for a city jail fine. Because also on top of all this, I found out that the city ordinances were never, at least according to Donna Raffold, their district court, when they've looked at ordinances to put the fees into their court system, all of them are set at $5. When the law increased to 20, none of the cities increased theirs to 20 by ordinances. So the court system, I know, but once I called Donna Raffold and talked to her about it, she said all of the cities are at $5 for their city jail fine, not the county, the city one. So it's a different ordinance. And she said, so it's $5 for a city jail fine. County jail fine is 20, and then there's a jail booking fee, which is a different law, that's 20. And then there's a sheriff bond fee that's 20. And so that's a grand total of $65. But if it's a county ticket, it would be only $20 for the county jail fine, $20 for the booking fee, $20 for the bond fee. And so the amount total would be different because there wouldn't be the city jail fine. But that $20 is still applying to county and city tickets. All we are getting from any of the cities, whether it's Greenbrier, Bologna, Guy, Damascus, I've got the receipts, I've got everything, that we are only getting the collections of county jail fines, except for Conway. Conway, for some reason, I can't find documentation to why, but Conway, and even Donna Raffold in an email somewhere, told me she doesn't really realize why and doesn't have it documented, but Conway's city jail fine collections automatically are transferred from their district court into the county treasurer along with county jail fines. So we get the city of Conway's, but at $5 each.
Instead of 20.
Yes.
So I want to go back, though, to the letter from Sheriff Byrd, though. When you went through that, did I not infer from that was actually taking the place of the per diem, which you alluded to the fact that there was probably some misunderstanding of the law at that time, but it sounds like that was, instead of collecting the per diem, let's do the fees instead. Is that what I'm understanding from the Sheriff Byrd letter?
That is the agreement, but the problem is the only thing they're receiving to the county is county jail fines.
The $20.
That's ours already by law.
Mm-hmm.
They're not giving us the city jail fine. And, I mean, it's even on the disbursement check stub, it even says county jail fine. But they are collecting $5 for every ticket for a city. I don't know. It's not being turned over to the county because it pretty much just said in that agreement $20 fee collected from defendants convicted of misdemeanors. And the $20 fee that's being collected is the county's, anyways, by law. And so that's where there's just multiple crisscrossing problems within everything we researched.
Justice Houston?
Just see, when the fees that are being collected, I'm assuming that's being applied toward per diem costs for the jail, the maintaining the jail, to house the people that are in the county jail. Now, with that assumption, what is the cost to maintain an inmate in the county jail for 30 days?
For 30 days? I know the cost for housing an inmate per day.
Okay, per day.
We have a cost analysis. It's approximately $40 a day.
$40, that's our cost to maintain 30 days.
Yes, sir, and that's consecutive for about 3 years now. It's been approximately $40 a day.
That's $400.
I think she said 40.
Big numbers.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. We'll say $1,300 per month per inmate. So Greenbrier only has 3 inmates. Conway only has X number of inmates. I guess the question, when we start looking at the math, is yes, we have issues with the amount of money that's being collected, but we're still not getting anywhere near the amount of money from the cities to cover the cost of the jail. Because if it's costing us $1,200 a month, let's make it $1,250. Let's just split the difference here.
Per inmate.
Yeah, per inmate, per month. You know, I think we should be looking at that cost and then driving everything backwards to say, Conway, this is what you're going to owe. Greenbrier, this is what you're going to owe. Mayflower, you're going to owe this. And so forth. Say, this is what we need to be looking at. And if that number is a combination of all the fees and fines that are collected, plus the amount of money that's required to house these inmates, it's just all one pot, because that's what I believe the Sheriff's Department is doing. They're taking those funds and applying it to the operational cost to house these inmates.
The fund that the jail fees are put into, it's designed by law. We have a special revenue fund for that revenue source. It's 3017. On the book, that is, where is that? Let me tell you what the total of it is.
But my point is, we know what our total cost is. We've seen presentation after presentation from the Sheriff's Department. We should be driving that cost backwards.
Okay.
Here's what it costs. Driving backwards, and here's what we drive back to the cities and say, this is what it's going to cost, guys.
It's the 3017, Fund 3017 is the Jail Operations and Maintenance Fund. And for this year and for, I believe, last year too, we exclusively budgeted food expense out of it for the jail. And so that's what it's been able to support. It's approximately $400,000 a year at this point. With the current collections that we're doing.
But total, I'll make sure I understand, total all in, the house and inmate in the county jail is costing us $40 a day.
Yes.
Or 40,
he just said
42
a day.
Yeah, $40-$45 a day, let's say.
So everything you've talked about goes into that fund, 3017, all of these different fines and fees that we currently are collecting, but some we aren't, but they go into that 3017.
The jail fines, or the jail fees. I've heard... Some people call them fines, some people call them fees, so that's why it keeps getting confusing. But by law, that fund is for designed by that statute that was given. So there's other fees that we collect in regards to jail. There's other things. And per diem is technically separate. And so how these run together is this first section that I read that talked about the first class accounting. So city tickets can be charged this $20 fee, jail fee. At the very end of that first section, it says all sums collected from this fine of this section shall be paid into the town or city treasury to be deposited into a fund to be used exclusively to help defray the cost of incarcerating city or town prisoners, including the construction and maintenance of a town or city jail and payments to other entities for incarcerating town or city prisoners. So the reason that the law designed it this way for cities to collect that jail fee as well is so they could either build their own city jail or they could use it to help offset their costs for paying per diems to a county. And so that's why it's charged on both ends.
So, Mr. Chair.
Justice Kendrick.
If I may. I guess a couple different things here that I'm seeing, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. So first, one of the issues is we are not collecting the city jail fees or fines, whatever we want to call it, across the board. It's only from Conway, correct?
And that's just the jail
part.
Fee. That's
right.
Not even per diem. We don't charge them per diem.
I'm talking about the city jail fee. So we're not doing that. The ones that we are collecting is at a rate of $5 and not by law what it can be, $20. That's the second issue, correct? What we are collecting is not up to what we can collect.
Let me clarify a little bit. All county jail fees are being collected at $20.
I'm talking about city.
Okay.
Yep, just city.
Okay,
city
the jail. Only one that is given to us is the city of Conway at
$5. Okay.
But there's no document telling us why.
Okay.
All the other cities do charge the $5 on their tickets, but I don't know where
we're not getting
is.
It.
No.
Okay, so we're not collecting it up to the rate that we fully could, and then it's not being collected from the municipalities on a consistent basis from all municipalities within the county. And then the third one is that there is the inmate housing reimbursement fee. That, as we talked about earlier, I think we probably all read articles about it. Washington County, I've spoken with a couple of their JPs about it. We've seen the Pulaski County one. It's not a question of, I think, whether they are charging that. They are charging that. They've been fighting about whether to increase that to actually cover their costs. So we're not collecting that at all to help cover the costs of that and haven't been in the past. So I guess those are the three things out of all this discussion so far that I've seen that could be addressed and maybe should be addressed either together or separately. So.
One thing I'd like to just kind of state, because I know Pulaski County is under a contract with all of the cities. It's pretty much a mutual aid contract that they all discuss and come to agreement upon, and that's what they ultimately decided today. Other counties come up with, okay, this is our per diem, and that's what's charged to every municipality, and they do a billing process. So it would be up to the county what they decide to do. From what I understand, I've looked at multiple AG opinions on it. If you decide to go with a per diem, then that per diem has to be used for each municipality. It has to be the same per diem, regardless of what city it is. If you decide to do a contract, then that contract can be with just one city if it need be. But you can't do this per diem for one and this per diem for another. So just to clarify that, just in case that was a question.
Right. I guess if I may continue, because based upon our special meeting, and that's kind of why I was wanting some of those specific numbers from the sheriff's office, but I believe it was estimated during the last meeting that I think around 60% of our prisoners were coming from the municipalities within the county. So if you were collecting the fees from 60% of our inmate population, that's a pretty significant number that would either go towards buying a 48-bed facility or a new jail or maintaining what we currently have. So.
If I can speak about the numbers, do you want me to do that yet?
No. I need you to be prepared for it, but not ready about the numbers.
Okay.
Here's what I think that would be more appropriate before we get into numbers,
okay,
is what actually is. So I have it, so there are city fees,
mm-hmm,
and there are county fees,
mm-hmm,
then there's the per diem.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a fourth something in
booking
there.
That's
also a special revenue fund. It's 3018 that's on the books, and those are paid into the county by all municipalities if they, you know, collect it for their city tickets or whatever. It's all charged appropriately. We've checked into that one, and the money is going just as the law designed into 3018. Now, there was an increase. Legislature just passed an increase to the booking fees to increase it from 20 to 40, and that went into place July 24th. And when we closed out our books at the end of July, appropriation was made for that funding difference and was handled through the county treasurer. And so what changed with that is before we got 100% of that $20, now we will get 90% to that fund, and 10% will be given to the state treasury for law enforcement training fund for ALETA. And that was the design of the law. So instead, on a $20 ticket, before we get all $20, now on a $40 charge of booking fee, we'll get $36, and $4 will go to ALETA instead. So we'll have an increase in that revenue, which will be good for the jail, because that also says exclusively used to offset maintenance and operation of the county jail. And so that's where that fee comes into play. But it's a different fund, a different law.
Okay. So I think this is what I would like to see. Is more of a cookie cutter version of city fees and how much,
mm-hmm,
and then county fees, how much, and then the per diem is pretty much self-explanatory. I don't need it tonight.
No, I understand.
Yeah, and then probably a summary of, you know, the county, the city fee is $20, but maybe Valonia's only paying $5, is what I'm hearing, or something. I'm not picking on Valonia, but whatever. But I guess what I'm getting at is the differences between what should be and what is. And then we understand that we have another agreement with Greenbrier that may actually be covering some of theirs, or most of theirs, or whatever. And then what Conway has. I need to know what is before we can determine what needs to be. Does that make sense?
Yes, and let me... it's very easy to confuse that the jail fee and the per diem. So they are actually two separate things.
Actually, on the per diem, hypothetically, a city could say, we're just not going to give you any more inmates, and they don't pay a per diem.
Yes, because technically they're collecting that city jail fee, and it should stay within the city. And I also have documentation from Donna Raffold saying pretty much that all of the cities are awaiting the bill from us.
All right, so they could keep their city fee, they could collect their city fee of $20 and save it, whatever, and then when they get the bill from you from the county fee, they could use their city fee to pay their county fee.
That's how it's designed in the law to work. Okay. So at this point, they are collecting $5 for the city. They have been, and that's what Donna has researched and gathered for me. But they can increase to 20. So although we're pointing this out as a problem for them, we also are pointing out the possible revenue increase for them as well, that they can increase.
Okay, so let me be clear. So it's not necessarily has to be 20. It can be 20.
It's at the maximum of 20. Yeah.
20 is the maximum.
The cap, yes.
Okay.
So that's where I'm saying, even though we haven't billed them in the past for that per diem, if that's something that we are looking at enforcing, because we do have a county ordinance already saying we could do so,
we have a county ordinance says we can do what?
To charge per diem.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes. So we wanted to point out to the cities that, yes, we may start enforcing this ordinance if it's still valid, but we want you to realize that y'all can charge the defendants more for a city jail fine than what you currently are. All it takes is a city update to the city ordinances.
So if the city is currently charging $5 per citation,
city citation,
current $5, they hypothetically then could pass an ordinance to bump it to 10, all the
or
way
whatever.
To 20.
Yes.
All,
yes,
but
sir.
20 is the maximum. Yes. Is the cap.
And that's what the county has set at. We revised our ordinance, county ordinance, in 2009 when the state law changed to increase it to 20.
So you guys are already charging 20 for the county tax, for the county fee.
Yes, when we revised it in 2009.
And so the cities are paying y'all $20 for the county. When is that correct?
The defendants are. Yes.
Yes, the defendants, all right? It goes defendant.
I don't want it to get misinterpreted with Purdue. So.
I understand.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just. Yes. Justice Pickett, are you leaving?
No. Mr. Sampson in the treasurer's office has a record of all of the funds that he's received and booked to account 7,400, 7,600, and 7,800, and all the sub-accounts.
Mm-hmm.
What Mr. Sampson does not have is the invoice that somebody sent that prompted a payment to the county.
Doesn't sound like, just because he's here, that the city of Greenbrier has received an invoice.
Well,
you guys have just been collecting the money on that, saving it, and then just shipping it all in, as I understand.
I've met with the treasurer's office in regards to this. That's where I actually got copies of the treasurer receipts and the check stub showing what that amount of money was designated as. And it actually said county jail fine or fee. And so it's not housing reimbursement. It's that jail fine or fee that's been charged.
But we've got this little sticky piece of paper from Sheriff Byrd that says you can do this instead of that.
But because we're looking at this as a whole for the county.
No, I get that.
It should all be hashed out together, because that's the only one necessarily that's, that we've been able to find documentation for. But I agree, the same point that Pulaski County has, if you're going to go into a contract, it might just need to be a contract as a whole, or just go at per diems as a whole, just to make sure it's less confusing. I don't know.
Okay, so let me stop right there. Justice Lehowski?
Yes, sir.
You opened this can of worms. Are you satisfied with the answer to your question?
Answer, I guess.
I'm trying to decide how far I want to go with this, and we've gotten answers to the question.
I feel like I've been educated a lot tonight, and
I'm
satisfied with my level of education
okay.
for one night.
Because I want to make it clear earlier that the decision tonight was not to act on this. It was
correct.
Educational.
Correct.
So I'm part of
an educational series. Maybe.
Probably so. Justice Kendrick?
I guess one thing, it sounds like just with the clarification that was made with the city fees, that basically alludes us back to the housing reimbursement, and that's what the cities would use for that.
Yes.
So I think with where we're at, especially in the time frame, as we begin to start to enter our budget season, and as well the cities are going to be doing the same thing, I think we need to update our current reimbursement ordinance to make it where it's covering the cost of what we have, or we need to look at a way to allow to notify the cities that say this is something that we're looking at. You better start planning for this because it's going to be a topic of discussion for the quorum court that from our side, we can't enter a contract, but what we can do is we can update our ordinance to say it costs us $42 a day. This is what we're going to charge per diem.
I'm not confident that the is question yet of what it is today is, it might be sufficient. To cover this.
$30 a day. The ordinance from 92 states that the per diem charge would be $30 a day for an adult prisoner.
I mean, we need.
It costs us $42, so it's like the state. We're losing money on it, but unlike the state, we can actually control how much the ordinance is set for.
The state also reimburses us at $30 a day, too.
Right.
And I just want to make one more statement. Mm-hmm. We did not dig into this by no means as the sheriff's office to try to stick it to the cities or anything like that. I don't want anybody to interpret that this way. Everybody has heard in budget meetings that every department has had to crunch their budgets. And I know the sheriff's office budget is scrutinized over and over again. And I know that. So that's why I did this research, because I want to know what I talk about and I want to feel confident in front of you and anyone for that matter. But we were pushed to look into our revenue streams to figure out where we can come up with some kind of source to fix our own problems. Because we do see the county general does not have an abundance to go forward and go to you to ask for it. So this is why we started this research and tried to dig into any of these laws, just learning what we are able to do and what we can't do. And that's where this all came about.
Okay.
And I think just from my perspective, that I mean, before we go looking to the taxpayers to increase taxes to meet these funds, that we need to be looking internally, and if there's something that we should be doing by state law that every other county is doing, why are we not doing that? And I think we should look at that before we go asking the taxpayers to bear more of a burden when we're not doing everything we can.
I think I agree with you, but also take into consideration that when we go back to these, potentially go back to the cities, they could be put in a spot to have to do that very thing.
That's correct.
Yeah. So
how they fund it would be within their perspective, which is out of our control.
Yeah, Councilor Hogue.
Okay, I'm going to read you a couple of things out of the relevant ordinance that everybody keeps talking about. You know this.
Okay, because I was fixing to shut this down.
Well, you can leave while I'm reading. Section 5, this is Ordinance 9220, Section 5. The Faulkner County Sheriff's Department shall charge and collect the per diem cost of $30 per day for adults and $90 per day for juveniles, per prisoner per day or any part thereof for any and all prisoners incarcerated by any other governmental unit in Faulkner County Jail. Now, the county sheriff shall have the authority to negotiate and exchange prisoners with other governmental units to allow for the offset of per diem charges. Number one, we have mandatory language that says we shall charge $30 a day for adults and $90 a day for juveniles. But then the second, third sentence of this section of this ordinance gave the sheriff the authority to bite into that sum and renegotiate it for different jurisdictions. That's what's happened. That's why you have Chief Earnhardt coming in here and say, whoa, I've got a different deal and we passed it and so forth. That's why when Angie asked the question, you know, I have this contract between the sheriff and Earnhardt back in the day, yes, I would generally say that contract is useless because the county judge didn't sign off on it. At this point, the county court gave the authority of the county sheriff to the county sheriff to negotiate those deals. Now, there's a legal question about whether the county judge still has to sign off on it or not, but it's nebulous, so we're kind of leaving it alone. Section 7 of the same ordinance. If any other governmental unit shall neglect, fail, or refuse to pay the fee for prisoners as charged by the office of the county judge, the Faulkner County Sheriff shall thereafter refuse to accept any prisoner of the said governmental unit until the fee charge has been paid and brought current. The reason I'm saying this, the reason I'm reading this to you, is because we are actually in a good position at the moment to collect all this. We can use the ordinance that we have to collect all this. Now, we may want to tweak it up to 42 or whatever. That's not as big a deal to me as just enforcing the ordinance that we have. And on that point, you guys, as part of the quorum court, need to know that the reason that Ms. Woolley has all this
reams and reams and reams of paper. And by the way, I nominate her to be the next county attorney. The reason she has all this is because we have all talked. Everything the quorum court hears at this point is a rehashing of everything that we've already talked through. And we were at the point just a few months ago, actually, where we were ready between the three or so of us to send out letters to all the cities saying, we're about to start enforcing this ordinance. You need to come up with the money. This is about to happen, and so forth. So maybe, I mean, call me Mr. Urgent tonight for different reasons. I would urge you guys to recognize that we have the ability. We don't have to let it go through committee for a few months and then go through quorum court for a few months and so forth. We have the ability to start enforcing this ordinance right away. And the last thing I'm going to say is, to that point, Ms. Woolley, how much money would you say any given city owes based on this ordinance?
So, me and Captain Ray Miller ran reports.
Hold on to your chairs.
We can run reports in our in-house system in Winsong's back to 2004. We got Winsong's in 2003, but it was in the middle of the year. So 2004 is from January on, we can run a report for collections. And we did it by municipality, and we have a report from 2004 until 2018. And we have all of those numbers. And if we charged $30 a day, which is the current per diem rate by ordinance, if we charged that,
let's just, for simplicity's sake, let's pick the city where I represent, Mayflower.
Okay.
How much would Mayflower owe us to date?
Back date, like all together? Mm-hmm. From 2004 to 2018, they would owe us $705,910.
So what does that mean if you know this, and I always expect you to know everything. What does that mean if we take 6 months to figure this out? What would they be owing us average per month? Do we know any numbers like that?
I did it by year.
Okay, so by year.
2018, they would have owed us $42,750.
Okay, that's the point that I want to make here is, like I said, we had Sheriff Rawls and Angie and I had our finger on the trigger of, let's send the letters out to all the city municipality jurisdictions, let's get this going. We have paused that. We've taken our finger off the trigger and unchambered the bullet so the quorum court can look at it. And what I'm suggesting here, with all due respect, is please don't take a long time to look at it, because time is money on this issue. We have the stuff that we can enforce.
So is the intent to go back to 2004? And I mean, goodness.
Honestly,
I wouldn't suggest that necessarily.
No, you're not going to get that. And plus, they're under the same constraints that we are as far as year-to-year budgeting.
The intent was to write a letter explaining that had we been following this all this time, this is what it would be. Please be patient with us while we come back and say this is what we owe from, this is what we're going to have to do from here on. It's mandatory language. It's not a. It's not something that we can just say as the quorum court, we're not going to do this, and we need to do it. But let people know. Sometimes you need to let people know how deep they are to make them appreciate how shallow we're treating them.
Well, and one reason we've backed off of the letters, I believe, also is because we realized that it's going to hit their budget. If you're a small municipality like Mayflower, or you're Conway or Greenbrier, whatever it is, it's going to hit your budget if we start charging per diem. And so we wanted to give them ample time. Also, we know budget season's starting up right now for the county, and it will also for the cities. And so we wanted them to have ample time as well to understand that this topic has arrived and could maybe hopefully compensate for that.
Do they know that? Do they know that this topic has arisen?
Rumors getting out.
Yes.
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Justice Houston?
One final question. Based on the scenarios that you just read about Mayflower, would you translate that, the annual cost of Conway?
The annual cost of Conway for last year would have been $1,733,340.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We can, my point is, we can do a whole lot with the money that we would be receiving, and the longer we talk about it in committee and talk about it in forum court and so forth and mull it around and think about what we're going to do with it, time's a wasting, and we could be collecting it.
So I guess one thing, like, just hearing those numbers right here, I drafted an ordinance basically for the five-year option for the 48-bed lockdown for the down payment of $920,000. There it is. We're short of it right now, but that seems like that number would cover what we're needing to do in the interim.
Chief Earnhardt, go ahead.
Now that's what I'm telling you. What I've been told. Okay.
Sure.
So if we arrest someone, we put them in Saturday night in jail. Okay. Then Monday they go in front of a judge. PC here. If the judge says you stay in jail till your court date, now does that not free us up for the 40?
If the judge is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If
the judge is holding that prisoner for the city charges alone, then right. That would be on the city.
So
if it turned into felony charges, that would become a county prisoner at that point.
Okay, so if they go to court and then they're sentenced for a year, that means we got to pay for a year?
I can answer that. So about 2 years ago, there was a state Supreme Court ruling on this very issue, whether a municipal prisoner could be charged or not. What was decided by the state Supreme Court is, from the time of arrest until the time of adjudication on any misdemeanor, unless it's an adjudication on a city ordinance. So if, say, Greenbrier has an ordinance and you arrest somebody, they get convicted on the city ordinance, you put them in the county jail, we can charge for the county ordinance violation or the city ordinance violation. We cannot charge post-adjudication. On a felony, you can charge from the time of arrest to the time that prosecutors formally accept the charges. They have a 60-day detention window where they can decide to pursue charges or release the person. You can charge up to that point, is what was decided by the Supreme Court. So if they are convicted and sentenced to the county lockup, no, we can't charge for that. It's just pre-adjudication detention.
And this is where, Justice Siggins, this is where my point was, we have been through this and through this and through this several times. We've hashed it and rehashed it and so forth. And we can, this has taken, how long have we been working on all this?
About a year.
Well, we had the mayor meeting in 2017.
Right. So that the respectful, I mean it very respectfully, but the respectful warning on this is I urge you not to try to go through all of the stuff that we've already been through in this group to get to the same conclusion that we could pull the trigger on right now.
Okay. All right.
I guess one thing, would it be prudent to have Mr. Hogue update the per diem fee to our current cost and to have that prepared to present to us our next meeting to vote on?
I wouldn't have a problem with that for the next Courts and Public Safety Committee yet, when we would have
just an amendment to the old ordinance.
Yeah.
Updating to our current cost.
I can provide Councillor Hogue with a copy of the last 3 years' cost analysis so you can see the trend and what we're at right now for you to be able to have on record as well.
Okay. Captain Reed-Muller?
Can we put a clause in there where it can be updated annually, where we present a report to the court and they can adjust the rates?
You can add it and we'll discuss it.
We do that analysis annually for jail fingers and for auditors.
Okay.
So with that said, yes, I will. I think I just got tasked. So yes, I'll do that. I'll add the language in and make it an amended 92, whatever it is. And thank you.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
No.
Second.
All right. This meeting's over. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to make it 45.